Welcome back. Still Ask the Pastor. And with us is no other than Pastor Moses Alu. God bless you, sir.
God bless you. And if you are just joining us today, it is Ask the Pastor. We say a lot of things that you know, people may be confused knowing where our backgrounds are. So we expect questions. We don't want to leave anybody in confusion. From the perspective of our understanding, and we always want to add that if you think we are wrong in our understanding, please, we'll be glad to hear your own understanding. And so because iron sharpened iron, we may be wrong, and you can really point that out to us. And so we say shalom to the Bride TV crew. Shalom to those who have made it possible, yielded themselves for God to use their finances to keep the program on. And shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. Shalom to the lovers of truth and lovers of this channel. Amen. Welcome to another session.
All right. God bless you. Pastor, there was something I would actually want to point at. That was from the message that was preached.
You would actually want to point out what? Yeah, go ahead.
And I said it again.
Yes.
All right. One of the things that was said is nobody gets born again and becomes perfect the same day.
Sure.
Some people beg to differ in that, especially in the certain persons I've met in the denominational setting. Mm. There's this belief that the moment you give your life to Christ, the moment you become born again, that perfection takes place.
No. If you go to what Apostle, even Apostle Paul,
okay,
perfection is determined by your knowledge of him.
Okay.
I can be perfected by somebody you don't know, by God you don't know. Mm. And after 25 years of ministry work, he was writing to the Philippians, and he was telling them his prayer that he may know him. Then to the Ephesians, Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3.
Okay. Yes.
You know, verse 17 and verse 18, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to understand, comprehend with all sense what is the breadth, and length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of God, which passeth at knowledge, that he might be filled, but ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Peter, in his own case, says in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, add to your faith what?
Knowledge.
To your faith, virtue.
Virtue, rather.
And then you keep adding.
Yes.
And you keep adding. And you keep adding. And also, when you are natural, even nature teaches us the gospel. A child is born perfect, human being.
Okay.
But it's not matured. He grows. So why do you think that you will be born again and you will not grow? Apostle Paul in Hebrew, for instance, in Hebrew chapter 6. Okay. I think it's Hebrew chapter 6. This is the way he put it, you know, from verse 1 and verse 2.
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection.
That is, you have to move on, you have to grow, you have to grow into perfection.
Okay.
We have to grow, you must grow.
Okay.
You must grow, and that he may grow thereby, desire the sincere milk
of
the word of God, that ye may grow thereby.
That you know that scripture. First Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes,
yes,
desire the sincere milk of the word,
yes,
that ye may grow thereby.
So there is growing.
Okay.
You have to grow.
Okay.
So you cannot just be perfected in one day.
Mm. And there's one other thing you said. Don't cram the Bible.
Yes.
Study the Bible.
Yeah, you cram the Bible, that is, you put it on your head.
Okay.
But when you study, you put it in your heart.
Hmm.
Thank you.
So, okay, we already have a question coming in. In Luke chapter 16, verse 18, does it mean that a woman that left her husband for some reason known to her, and the man decides to remarry, is he committing adultery, or what is he supposed to do?
In a Christian setting, if the woman walks out of the marriage, there must be a reason she walked out of the marriage. The church is supposed to intervene. The elders of the church are supposed to call them to unite them back, because that is not divorce. It amounts to divorce only if she goes and remarries. If she's still alive and unmarried, wherever she is, it's a separation. It's not divorce. And then that means there is hope to come back. The hope is lost only if she goes and remarries. And within this period, whatever is the cause of the differences should be resolved, and she will come back. You don't just remarry because she walked out. You have to do everything to bring her back. Address the issues and let the church be involved. Amen. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. And still on the things. Okay, we have a question. All right. Let's go straight to that question. Ibino Sa from Italy. Shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. Good evening, sir. Please, my question is from Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Please, sir. Okay, the soul here, does it also mean spirit? If no, what is the difference between soul and spirit? And then question two, I want to know Genesis chapter 1 and 2 talks about the creation of man. Was there or were there men in the earth before? Where did Cain get his wife? Shalom.
Well, the first question, this question usually come up about body,
yes, the soul and the spirit.
I believe that the spirit is your real self. It's your real self. The physical body is the house that houses the spirit, because we are spirit beings, to enable us contact the physical. Then, of course, the spirit enables us to contact the spiritual. Now, the soul, I believe the soul is also, is the strength of the spirit, is the life of the spirit. Okay. I believe that the soul is the life of the spirit. I think that is my understanding.
I was going to throw a question, but that last statement threw me off by threw my question back to me.
Is the life and the strength of the spirit.
Hmm.
It's your composition.
Hmm.
That is the composition of the spirit.
Okay.
It's the soul. Hmm. That is what gives it life.
Okay.
That's what I believe.
All right. So let's move over to question number two.
Number two, Cain marries certainly his half-sisters because... Okay. The only families on earth were Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
So, he went to the land of Nod, the Bible says so. It's just for the purpose of direction, geographical location. A name is not given to it, just for you to know where he moved to.
Okay.
And there were no inhabitants there. And remember, these are people who will live 600 years, 800 years. And Abraham had sons and daughters. Yeah. So he certainly married from the family of Adam and Eve.
God bless you, sir. All right, let's move on to the next question. I knew a question.
Family of Seth. Yes.
Shalom, Pastor. Shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. Please, sir, husband and wife that has the Holy Spirit, is it possible for some of their children not to be chosen by God? Because the Bible says that when God saves us, He sees our children. But some of our children are not following whenever we teach them. Why? Brother Tony from Delta State.
Which scripture say when God save you, you save your children too?
I think he's referring to the area of marriage where the scripture says if you are holy,
it said they are sanctified.
Not sanctified.
Sanctification is not salvation.
Okay.
it's sanctification, it's not salvation. Every man shall give account of himself. The Bible says so. And God has no grandchildren. God has no grandchildren. So those children will go the way it's written of them. That is why they have to come of age to give their lives to Christ. Your own is, you have a responsibility to bring up the child the way he should go. And it is believed, according to the scripture, that when he grows up, he will not depart from it. So I want you to note that nobody will be saved because his father or mother were saved. God bless you.
Amen. All right, record that statement. God has no grandchildren.
At all.
Very, very important. All right, shalom, shalom. God richly bless you for the great work you are doing for the bride. Please, Pastor, I have two questions pertaining to this scripture. Matthew chapter 16, verse 28. Question one, which kingdom is the Son of Man referring to?
We are.
And question two, Matthew chapter 16, verse 28.
16?
Verse 28.
Let's read it, please.
Okay. It says, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death, 16. Till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.
Which kingdom is he referring to?
Yes.
It's the millennium. Okay. Is the kingdom that Christ will rule and reign is the 1,000 years reign of Christ. That's where the title of King of Kings shall be applied.
Right. All right, let's move over to the question. Question two. Question two says, who are those who would not taste of that death? Is it Israelites or the raptured ones? God bless you. And this is from Pastor George from Ghana.
Now, verse 28 says, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here. And who was he talking to at that time? He was talking to his disciples.
Yes.
He was addressing his disciples. And he said, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And if you go to chapter 17, after he made that statement, verse 1.
And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother,
yes,
and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias.
Now you can see, 6 days after he made that statement, he took Peter, John,
and James,
and he was changed. And they saw him in his glorified estate, the way he will come and reign in the millennium in his kingdom. And that fulfilled verse 28 of chapter 16.
Okay. All right. There was a statement you also made last on Sunday. You kept emphasizing something, and that was gold must go through fire.
Sure.
And the trial of our faith is more precious than gold.
Yes.
In this period of consecration, I don't know probably if you could but stress that a bit.
No, that is not relevant to the period of consecration.
Okay.
It's just the life of a believer.
Okay.
That for you to be glorified, for that perfection, that maturity is to bring up, you know, the beauty, the glory of your salvation. And that is achieved through also trials, temptation, and Apostle Peter said, the trial of our faith, which is much more precious than that of gold, you know, and that what it is supposed to achieve and should be to the glory of God. So that when you begin to see yourself undergoing certain situation and you crying and it looks as if God has forgotten, you know, it is the purification process. It is the perfecting process.
Amen.
It is the glorification process.
Amen.
For you come out the better spiritual,
Amen.
You know, when are you, when he finishes with you. I emphasize that so that we don't get tumbled, you know. I think the apostle was saying that you don't look at Sotra as if some strange thing has come upon you. It is normal.
Amen.
It's a process of glorification.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Okay, Pastor Moses Aluan, Shalom, Pastor Moses Aluan, Ebuka. In John chapter 20, verse 17, Jesus refused mercy not to touch him, for he hasn't ascended. Okay, that should be Mary, not mercy, because he hasn't ascended to his Father. What allows Thomas to touch him to believe in John chapter 20, verse 27? Did he go to heaven before coming back to allow Thomas to touch him? Or wasn't he allowed for a woman to touch him? Can we use our five senses to believe or have faith? Okay, please extend my greetings to Jesus David Onyejiaka. This is from the Emirates. This is
Ganimex
from the Emirates. So the first question is actually referring to why is it that, was it that women were not allowed to touch him?
No, you see, there are a lot of things Christ would do to convey message to us.
Okay.
First and foremost, you know how emotional women can be, you know, and there's a way he was relating with them, and then out of excitement, you know, she could just, you know, grab him and in a way that shouldn't be done yet. But more importantly is that Thomas has an assignment.
Okay.
And he's to do everything for Thomas to believe.
Okay.
Because he has a gospel to preach out there.
Mm.
So, and then he also knows who Thomas is. Thomas is not follow. Thomas has to be convinced. And you notice that immediately Thomas got convinced, he fell down and worshipped him. And then also he used it to teach us something. Because at the end he said, you see before you believe, but blessed are those who will not see and yet believe. He was referring to me. So I'm more blessed than Thomas. If I didn't see him, but I'm preaching him because I believe him. I didn't need to see him physical. I saw him in the spirit. So it's about the lesson to be learned from there, not any law. Okay. It's not any law. It's not any priest.
Okay. The following question was actually asking if he had gone.
That has answered it.
Okay.
Yes.
I think the question still continues. Let's have that question back. Okay. Can we use our five senses to believe or have faith?
When you say your five senses, that is your carnal senses. There is a sixth sense. That sense is called faith. The just shall live by faith.
Mm.
For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Mm.
We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says so. So, and when you live your Christian life with your five senses, it is called flesh. And and the Bible says that those in the flesh can never please God. What is walking in the flesh is your eye, your hear, your your taste, and your feeling.
God bless you, Brother Tony. Shalom.
Shalom.
God bless you.
Yes.
The parable of the question is that, so sir, I was saying, I am producing my question on the basis of this prophet that went contrary to what the king of others in those days. Why? Because the allegiance is to God. And he hid some of the prophets of God. And likewise, his son David. So if I see one is promoting Debian, or a general in the government of the nation. But at the same time, I have to be obedient to my Jesus, the one who shed his blood, to redeem me, to set me free, to regenerate me. And I am now a citizen of the spiritual Israel. And the connectivity between the spiritual Israel and the physical Israel, I believe so. So should there be any conflict, any war? And I teach my religion as the first man. I teach my loyalty as the first man to the physical Israel on earth. Realize my nation because of the leadership aligned with the Arab countries. About health, about things.
Brother Toyin, God bless you. God bless you, brother Toyin. Can you hear me?
I'm hearing you clearly, sir.
You are in the force.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Military or paramilitary?
Sir?
Are you in the military or the paramilitary?
No, I'm in the CMA.
You are what?
I am in the police for my
post. Okay, police. Okay. Now, you took an allegiance when you joined the force, correct? You took an oath.
Yes, sir, you are correct, sir.
Now, every Christian is supposed to honor the oath you have taken. Correct?
I'm not seeing you, sir. Yes, sir.
Now you are supposed to honor that. Because you chose, and you were not conscripted into the police force. You willingly joined the police force. And any career at all you take that offends your faith, you also have the prerogative of resigning to live the life that you feel you believe in. But let me quickly tell you that In God's plan for salvation, the Israel of God now are the believers.
Yes, sir.
Now, God has two children. He has the senior child, which is Israel, and the junior child, which is the Gentile bride church.
Yes.
And he told us concerning packing us home, he said, the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. Now I want you to note that God, the whole earth belongs to him. And he is the one that has placed all the authorities. All the powers that be belong to God. And they are there for now to fulfill his purpose. And we are supposed to be the salt of this earth. We are his salt that he put on earth. So in Nigeria, God has appointed you and me to be the salt of the earth here. And secondly, he has placed us here to shine the light in the dark Gentile world. We have an assignment to do here. And a perfect example is the Lord Jesus Christ. By the time Christ came, Israel was under the rulership of Rome. Even their leader was appointed from Rome. Herod was not a Jewish man. Are you hearing me, Brother Toy?
I'm listening, sir.
Now, but you discover that they tried several times, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, to tempt him, to make him have trouble with the Romans. But you saw how beautifully he answered them. He said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. And that principle is applicable to all Christians. Now, we are to follow the law, because Romans 13 tells us so. Apostle Paul told us so. Apostle Paul was subject to the Roman laws because they were still under the rulership of the Roman Empire. So, in Nigeria here, we are to obey the laws of the land as long as those laws don't contravene our faith, our belief, our religion, our faith. You are to follow it. And thank God, in Nigeria, the constitution recognizes secularism, and then we are free to practice our faith. So we have no problem at all. Now, when you talk of Nigeria, aligning with the Arab world against Israel, I want you to be very careful, because these Arab nations have no diplomatic relationship with Israel, but Nigeria has a diplomatic relationship with Israel. So you will not say that they are aligning against Israel. And let me tell you that it is very interesting to us. The Bible told us, God told Abraham, whosoever blesses you, he God will bless them.
Yes.
Now they are ignorant of that. You can see America has solidly been behind Israel, and all the countries that have been behind Israel, you see how blessed they are. God blesses them. And all those who refuse to be of a blessing to Israel and encouraging the terrorism or otherwise, or politically antagonizing Israel or taking position against the position of Israel. Anytime you take position against the position of Israel, you are actually going against God's purpose for Israel, and you will lose the blessings. And that is why you see trouble everywhere. Maybe that is why Nigeria is experiencing the kind of a trouble of economic problem, security problem, and everything else. Maybe that could be the reason. Yes.
Would you your clarification, sir?
Yes.
I have a lot of
go ahead.
Been able to convince so many of my colleagues at my previous research. I was able to go. There are some instances that, even in the course of my job, that some of my, I would say, some of my boss, some of my leaders, the keys of directing that I serve are on board me. And I have to confirm.
Sure.
In other situations. Well, based on my conscience and based on the tenets of the scriptures, what they want to perfect, let me just say what they want to perfect here. So I think with what you are saying now, that I'm under oaths and I'm supposed to be leader to leadership.
Sure.
I have quite a lot of repentance to do.
Brother Toyin, it's just about wisdom. You are not to take instructions that are contrary to the laws of the land. You are not. You are not. You are not. You, it is not the Bible that even defends you. It is the Constitution that defends you. So you swore allegiance to the Federal Republic of Nigeria. You did not swear allegiance to your commander. You did not swear allegiance to the Inspector General of Police. You swear allegiance to defend the Constitution of Nigeria, and you are a law enforcement agent, and the law is what you work by. You can therefore, if you stand on the legal frame of, you know, your job, and do your job according to the law, and then you receive any sanction, you know you can test it in the court of law. Thank you very much. Thank you. You know, somebody told me, and many of these end time message churches years back when we just joined them, because of what we believe the Antichrist system will use to bring people under their authority and things like that, they think that it is wrong to go and register the church. And that is a product of serious ignorance.
Even in the denomination, a lot of people still have that issue.
Now, that is a serious display of serious ignorance. We must obey the law of the land. While we have freedom of worship, freedom of association, we are under a government. There are also bylaws that you must also obey. You want to be recognized because it is the responsibility of the government to know what people are doing there. You must be, if what you are doing there is not criminal, why will you not want the government to know what you are doing there? And it is called an unlawful gathering, unlawful association, if you are not registered. You must be registered. Go and register your church so that you, it is that registration that will remove you from a lot of embarrassment. If you are not even registered, for instance, you can't own a property. If you are not registered, for instance, and recognized as a body, you cannot sue or be sued. Therefore, you have no rights at all because you are non-existent as far as the laws of the land are concerned. And in the course of your gathering, God forbid, something tragic happens. Somebody collapses and dies, God forbid. Somebody under anointing hits his head. And the government will come. Who are you? Why are you gathering here? Who are you? Who will you tell them you are? Now, I think it's just sheer ignorance. Get the freedom to worship by getting the registration that the Constitution provides for you. So, if anybody is thinking that it's ignorance, it has, look, but before the Antichrist will reign, we are gone. So stop all this thing they are doing. Go and get your freedom to worship. God bless you.
Right. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Definitely, because a lot of people actually fall victim of this. And well, let's move on with the
question. You can't even have a bank account.
Yeah, definitely.
You are not registered. You can't have a bank account. So you'll be using the pastor's personal. And so it just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. Okay, Pastor Edward is on the line.
Pastor Edward, shalom and God bless you.
Yeah, good evening, sir.
Shalom. You can go on with your question, sir.
Shalom, the bride and assembly. Good evening, Pastor Moses.
Pastor Edward, God bless you.
That is one of your biggest followers from River State. And I always say that you are building an army for the end time.
Amen.
The soldiers you are building, you never know. We are many. I happen to be a pastor that God directed to a particular pastor for ordination. And what I noticed that the doctrines of the church is not what I believe and not what the Holy Spirit teaches me that Christianity is also the Bible saying that we should be. So I'm finding it very difficult to cope with the system. I love Christianity of practicing what we preach, what you always say, and also doing what the Bible, or living up to the standard of the Bible before everybody. So I've been trying as much as possible to know how to cope. Though the only thing God gave me is to be ordained there, but I'm confused on what to do or where to go. So I decided I'm calling. Let me know. I needed a direction from you, sir, because I'm confused. My ministry is more of holiness, preparing men to God for the last time, building soldiers, just what we are preaching. But the pastor I'm working under are these preachers that are interfering, and I don't really give filled up with that such environment. When God gave me my commission, he told me that many lions are coming. We should be armies and warriors that can stand for the end time. But where I found myself is opposite the whole thing. So that day I'm confused. Sometimes I feel like as a pastor not going to church, just to watch online on your teachings and everything. So I'm totally confused about that. So God, I said, let me call.
God bless you. God bless you, Pastor. Pastor Edward.
Thank you, sir.
Can you hear me, Pastor Edward? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, sir.
Now, I think you are the one confusing yourself. You said God told you to go to the man to be ordained. That was all he sent you there to do. After the man has ordained you, you chose to remain there and walk there.
Okay, sir.
So don't bring God into it now. He didn't say, go there and serve me in that ministry. He said, go there and let the man ordain you.
Hmm.
Now, what you are supposed to do is, since you hear from God, go back to God. Yes, okay, he has ordained me. What next? Allow God to continue to lead you. Leave that place. Okay, you have received the ordination, you have obeyed. Now leave that place and then wait for the next direction from God himself on what next you are to do. And the ordination,
okay,
he must have ordained you into an office.
Yes, sir.
Which office did he ordain you into?
No, he just ordained me into a pastor.
He ordained you into the office of a pastor.
Yes, sir.
Then you go and do pastoral work. What are you waiting for?
Okay, sir.
You go out and do your pastoral work. Go and look for the sheep of God and watch over them. If you have a pastoral call.
Okay, sir.
God bless you.
Okay, Daddy, thank you. I want to tell you, please, that you are building an army.
Amen.
For Christ. You are building just for Christ.
Amen.
You are saving souls. Many of us would have given up, but your teachings make us to bring us back to track.
Amen.
Continue doing the God's work, and God will help and assist you.
God bless you.
Name.
God bless you. Thank Amen. You, thank you. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. And I believe not just the pastors are being blessed, but also those who are not pastors are being blessed. Let's take one more question. Okay. Shalom, pastors. I'm Sister Linda from Ghana. Please, I would like to know if a believer who has the Holy Ghost can still backslide and can be possessed with another spirit.
Oh yes. Filled with the Holy Ghost, you can run mad. Filled with the Holy Ghost, you can fall sick. Filled with the Holy Ghost, another spirit can be tormenting you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an anchor of the soul, not the flesh. This flesh can be tormented, but the soul remains eternally anchored. That is why I said there is a difference between the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So, yes, don't be confused. If somebody filled with the Holy Spirit can be sick, and behind every sickness there's a demon, you can also run mad. You can even go depressed. So depressed until you may even commit suicide out of depression. It's a sickness. It's a demon. But once you are saved, it is a thing of the soul. You are saved forever because the baptism of the Holy Ghost is actually the receipt of eternal life. God bless you.
All right.
I want you to also note, when the Bible says break an edge, because it said, can a Christian backslid? Yes, a Christian can backslid. He said, break an edge, and what will happen?
Serpent
will bite. He said, break an edge, serpent will bite. I think it's Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, I believe, verse 1 and verse 2.
Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses,
yes,
let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience.
So there is a besetting sin. When you want to move forward, it draws you back. You want to move forward, it draws you back. And if you allow yourself to be led by this flesh instead of by the spirit, then you know what this flesh will attract for you. God bless you.
All right. Shalom. We go on a short break. Stay tuned. You're still on Ask the Pastor.